I love investing in shares, but like pretty much everyone else I know, I put off investing into them for too long because it seemed scary. Now, these days, the share market is a huge part of my financial freedom plan, but I look back at how I started and think that could have either been earlier or it could have been smoother. So to save you from the mistakes I made, or maybe just entertain you with those mistakes, here's what I wish I knew then and what I would tell my younger self if I could go back in time. Welcome to the Making Sense podcast. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. And I actually have a free newsletter series that is designed to help you learn about shares, the share market, how to become a confident investor. It's called The Market Memo. You can sign up to that, francescook.co.nz/investing. I'll also chuck it in the show notes for you if you want more in-depth info. But until then, let's do the chatty version of what I wish I knew earlier. Because while I'm doing okay with my money now, hey, things could always be better. And it could always have happened faster. So here are the lessons I'd give my past self. Lesson one, shares aren't just for other people. This one comes from, I think, a reputation problem that shares have. For decades, they have been tied to these images of Wall Street trading floors, men in expensive suits angrily waving bits of paper, language that can sound more like code than English. For many of us, that world feels distant, too hard, too risky. Not for, you know, people like us. And certainly I thought not for people like me. I was just a regular girl. I didn't like maths, hated a spreadsheet. The business world looked confusing. I come from a little town, a family that didn't always have enough money. I was once legitimately given the career advice that I should work at a pharmacy because they sell pretty things there. And so I would like it. So it did not seem like I was going to be some big shot wheeler dealer investor, which actually is nonsense. I mean, for starters, you can be anything you want in this life, and please flip the bird to anyone who would try to make your world smaller. But secondly, the share market can be easy to understand once you just start using normal words for it and ignoring the hype and the silliness. Look, even if your world does stay small, share market investing can absolutely be for you. It's actually crazy simple and easy to use. It's one of the most effective tools we have to grow wealth. If you want your money to work harder than a savings account ever will, this is where the action is. And financial independence is power. Power over your own life, your direction, and how the wider world impacts you. So much of freedom in life does take money. I wish that wasn't true, but it is. If you want to pick your kids up from school every day, that's a financial decision. It's going to have to work with your job. If you want to ensure you're nourishing your body with proper food, not just whatever's cheapest, that's a financial decision. This stuff really matters. And building financial independence through things like the share market can help normal people like us get there. And here's the thing, you don't need to be rich to start. Shares aren't just for finance bros or the wealthy. They're how ordinary people become wealthy in the first place. I started with $5 a week. That was it. That was all I had spare. It felt small, almost silly, but it changed everything because starting small taught me that I could do this, as well as so many other important lessons, which is why lesson two, starting small is a superpower. A big myth is that you need a lot of money to invest. And hey, that's because once upon a time, it was true, not that long ago. I remember a conversation with someone who just 10 years ago was literally laughed out of an investing office because they only had $10,000 to invest, which is just incredibly rude. But also now you look at that and you think, how outdated. These days, you can invest with as little as a dollar a time. And yes, that is absolutely worth it. For starters, a dollar a time is more than $0 a time. So you're still making progress. But starting with small amounts is also an amazing way to learn by doing. The share market goes both up and down, and that's not actually anything to stress about. It's a key way that you make money in the long term. But the first time it goes down, even though you'll know logically everything is fine, you're still going to hate it. We all do. I did. My first big, really big share market crash was the COVID crash. You remember, right? When everything first kicked off with COVID and the market cratered by a lot because it felt like the world was ending and everyone panicked. One of my favorite sayings is that the stock market is just a graph of rich men's feelings. This is very much true. So much of this is driven by feelings, not numbers. And there were many feelings around COVID times impacting our finances. So anyway, when that crash happened, I was actually in Argentina with my husband on a trip that we had been very excited for, planned a long time. And to make a long story short, we had our hands quite full with trying to get out of the small Argentinian town. They were literally shutting those towns down and patrolling them to make sure that nobody left. Flights were getting cancelled around us. It was also quite hard to get back into New Zealand. So my hands were full. I wasn't too worried about my shares. By the time I actually did get back home and had enough brain power to care, the stock market had already bounced back up. Great. So that really saved me from myself there. But who knows? If I hadn't been so entirely distracted, maybe I would have done something dumb with my money because I would have been as panicked about it as everyone else. Instead, what happened was an important lesson. The market went down by a lot. And then it came back up by a lot. And I had that first real experience of that happening, that first bruise to toughen me up and give me lived experience for when it inevitably happens next time. Which is why starting small is good, actually. Because you can hear, don't panic, it's normal, you don't need to sell if the share market goes down. But in that moment, when it happens for the first time, you're going to tell yourself the most dangerous words in the money world. This time it's different. It's not. So if you started small and you only have $200 in there, it's going to be a lot easier for you to remind yourself this is fine and normal. If you've somehow got $200,000 in there before you experience a dip, that's everything you have. You can't lose it. It's your future. You're going to be terrified. But if it's only a little bit, it's easier not to panic. You keep going, you keep building, dips happen a few more times, you learn from experience that your money bounces back, and then you genuinely don't mind anymore. Now when things bounce around, half the time, I don't even notice. And the times I do notice, I truly don't care. Starting small is a superpower. Use it. As you get further in life, you can start investing more. I started with $5 a week. Now I do invest a lot more. But I never would have started at all if I hadn't given myself permission to start with $5 a week. Starting early matters more than starting big. Lesson three, you do not need to be an expert. This one keeps so many of us on the sidelines when we really don't need to be. We assume we don't know enough to get started. So we do nothing. Oh, hello, analysis paralysis. This works for all sorts of areas of your life, but especially with your money. You will never know everything. It is ridiculous that we would expect ourselves to. I work in this area and I still really delight. It's one of the favorite parts of my job that I get to learn something new on a weekly basis. So when you're getting going, you do some starter research, you get cracking, and you learn and adjust more as you go. Picking individual companies to invest in, buying low, selling high, rooms full of suited men screaming down a phone, Look, it makes for good TV, but that's not how the majority of everyday investors succeed. Simple strategies like index funds and putting some money in after each payday are all a lot of people need. I am the world's most boring investor and laziest. It's going pretty great so far. Lesson 4, the share market is just a bunch of businesses, and it makes way more sense when you watch it with that in mind. At its core, the share market just lets you become a business owner. It's not gambling. It's not get rich quick. It's just business. Starting a business is one of the most common ways people build wealth for themselves. Meanwhile, the share market means you can become a business owner without going in every day and actually having to run the place. Nice. Basically, the share market is a place where businesses and investors swap money for ownership. The companies raise cash, investors get a slice of the action, and both sides hope to benefit over time. When you buy a share, you're buying a tiny piece of a company. So one person can own a company, or 20, or 200, or 2,000. The share market means you can be one of those owners. Every share is an equal piece of that company. And if you want to own a bigger percentage of it, you simply buy more shares. Because there's so many people sharing, get it? The ownership, it becomes cheaper to get in on it. If you can't afford a casual few billion to buy Meridian Energy, no worries. You just share the cost with a few other investors. Problem solved. Just like splitting a lotto ticket, you share the cost and you share any reward. But unlike lotto, you're not waiting for luck to strike. It's just about doing good business. So if you own one share of Air New Zealand, you are literally one of the owners of the airline. If the business grows, becomes more profitable, your share is worth more because the business is worth more. If it's not going great, the value goes down. That's why when the economy isn't going well and businesses are having a tough time, the share market can be down. Not as many customers. Business isn't going as well. It's not worth as much. Then the economy bounces back. Business booms. Everyone is happy again. It is so much easier not to panic when you see the share market is down, when you have an idea of why and some of the fundamentals of what might happen next. Lesson 5, I wish I'd understood how shares make money. I knew that they did make money, and that was part of how I would grow my own wealth, but I didn't really understand at first the how. People love to talk about passive income where you can earn money while you sleep. Most times, when you actually look into it a bit more, it's not all that passive at all. But the share market, that is one of the few times when, yes, you can put some money in at the beginning and then just keep cashing those checks. So going back to the previous lesson, once you understand that it's all just little pieces of a business, the how you make money part, that starts to make more sense. So there are two ways you make money from shares. If the business does well and makes money, that means it becomes more valuable. So your share of it also goes up in value. But you only get that money if you actually sell it. That's called capital growth. If the business makes profits and decides to share them, you get an equal share of that money with the other owners. That's cold, hard cash in the hand, and that's called dividends. So let's bring this over to houses, because a lot of us understand how that one makes money. A house can go up or down in value. Maybe it's in a more valuable part of town, or a new mall gets put in, so now more people want to live there. And if the value goes up, that's capital gain. Same idea as capital growth for your shares. Your shares might also go up and down in value. Goes up in value if the business picks up on a customer trend, leans into it, maybe develops a new technology that everyone wants a piece of. Think Netflix. realizing that DVD rental was dead, but streaming was the future. So the business is going better. It's likely to keep doing well in the future. More people want in on it, so it's more valuable. And the flip side, right? Going up in value is one thing, getting cash is another. So you can also get income from a house by renting it out to someone. Someone is there using the space and they pay you for that each week. There's the cash in your hand. Dividends are the income part of your shares investing strategy. So dividend payments happen when the business makes a profit and doesn't have any other plans for the money, so it can give it out to the shareholders. When a company is deciding whether or not to pay out a dividend, it's basically deciding what it's going to do with its profits. So it does have to pay any bills first, pay the staff, keep the lights on, pay any rent on buildings, equipment, things like that. Then with what's left over, they decide what's next based on a few factors. Do we have future plans? Do we want to buy more equipment, maybe hire more staff, invest in technology that helps us make even more money? And if we do, is there anything left after that? And if we don't, how much profit is left? Anything that's left after all of that is what gets divided up between the shareholders as that dividend payment. So you've got growth investing, which is all about the potential and the value. You buy into companies that you think will be worth more later, even if they're not all that profitable now. Income investing is more about reliability. You buy into businesses that already make solid profits and pay them out. You don't have to sell anything to see results if there's a dividend payment. You get money and you still own your shares. Neither is necessarily better. They're just different styles of making money. Now, what about the how to invest? Because I know you've been sending me so many questions on that. Well, look, we're kind of already over time on this episode, but if you would like that, I can walk you through some really good investing strategies in the future episode. How I invest, other ways you might want to invest, we can do it. Drop your questions in the comments and I can get to them and I know what's important to you then. There is also, of course, my Market Memo newsletter. We're digging into investing strategies each and every week. So go to francescook.co.nz/investing if you want to sign up for that for freezies. And I will also drop that in the show notes of this episode for you. Make sure you've hit subscribe to Making Sense. Send this episode to a friend if it was useful to you so that we can all level up our money together. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.